14. Just get to one verse here that we're going to look at this morning. And the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you for what's been done already this morning, our Sunday school hour, singing, our fellowship time now. Lord, I pray that you speak to us through the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray, go into each heart. You know our needs. Lord, you've heard our prayer request this morning for those that can't be with us. I pray that you work a work there in their lives. And now, Lord, meet with us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message is Holy Living. Last part of the verse there says, follow peace with all men, and it says, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, you know, I know the Bible's clear on the doctrine that the Bible says that we're justified by faith. But, you know, we're saved by grace through faith. And that means that's an unmerited, unearned thing that God, our gift that God has given to us. And so we're not saved by our works. It's just the grace of God. When, you know, something grace, the definition of grace is when you receive something that you don't deserve there. But alongside, that's a doctrine. That's a Bible doctrine. That's a doctrine that we believe. We're not saved by our good works. We don't have any good works to offer. The Bible says that our goodness or our righteousness is as a filthy rag in the sight of God. It's tainted because of sin. We don't have any goodness, any righteousness. We understand that's a Bible doctrine. But alongside Bible doctrines, we have what are called precepts. A precept is a general rule intended to regulate behavior or thought. A general rule intended to regulate our behavior or thought. And so this, and we see in Hebrews chapter 12, what we have there, it'd probably be considered a precept. And so, then what this is really saying is that the faith that saves is a living faith. In other words, if we have faith in God, and a lot of people say they believe, but if we have faith in God, that it's an active faith. It's not a dead faith, in other words. The Holy Spirit of God comes and dwells in our heart and conforms mankind, into the image of Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. This is an active thing. The Holy Spirit is active in the life of the believer. He's the one that transforms our heart through the Word of God. And so He transforms our heart. There's something happening in our life. It's a real thing. It's not just where we say, well, listen, I'm saved. I've got faith in Jesus Christ. And that's it. Nothing happens in our life. I mean, this is an active thing that's going to happen in our life. You know, the philosophy of this philosophy that we hear a lot of times, people say, well, I'm saved. And then usually you got a butt right along there, and they say, well, I'm saved. I know I'm not doing right. I know I'm not living right, but I'm saved. That's a bunch of hogwash right there. That is. I mean, I'm not saying, we're not talking about, you know, perfection. We're not talking about perfection, but we're talking about living a holy life, you know. And it's not by personal holiness that a man shall enter into heaven. But without holiness, it's pretty plain right there. I can read that much. It says, without holiness, or it says, and I can put holiness over on that side. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I can paraphrase that right there and not do any harm to the text. And so we see this, you know, we put this precept in the right position. It's this way. Precepts are not given to us as a way to obtain eternal life, but as the way to exhibit life, this spiritual life. This is how you exhibit how we act, how we talk. Everything about us, our whole life, everything. All things become new, the Bible says. Everything becomes new. How you look, how you talk, where you go, what you do. All those things become new when we're really, truly born again. So this is a simple way to do it. It's not a precept. It isn't something where, or even the laws of God. It's not this, do and live, but it's live and do this. What happens? It's a result of an action that's already taken place. And the law of physics, we have them in the world today, and there's certain laws of physics that are going to take place. And it's the same way in the Word of God. It doesn't even go against God's laws that we see in nature. Listen, if the Holy Spirit of God comes and dwells in your heart and you're saved, I'm going to tell you what, some things in your life is going to change, and they're going to change along the way. And so, that's the this thought here behind this. follow peace with all men and holiness, follow after holiness. Without men, if you don't have holiness, the Bible says, no man shall see the Lord. And I know it's not going to be my holiness, it's going to be Christ's holiness exhibited in me. I understand that. But you know, our problem today is we use others for our standard instead of the Word of God. And what we do is we look at other people and we say, well, look, man, I mean, you know, there's, and by the way, we didn't pray, we did in the early Sunday school hour, we didn't pray. There was another shooting this morning, wee hours of the morning up in Ohio somewhere, Dayton, Ohio, I think, and they had a shooting yesterday, and it's wickedness that's going on in the world. Make sure you pray for those people, and we did already early this morning. And so we can take that, and we look at the paper, or we look on the news, and man, I mean, what would they do if they took all the crime and wickedness out of the news? All we'd have is sports and weather. Probably wouldn't have half the sports. You know, there's nothing to talk about, but the we see all that evil that goes on in the world, and we compare ourselves to that. We say, well, you know what, at least I'm not as bad as, and fill in the blank. You can always find somebody worse than you, right? You can always find somebody that's our standard that we look at today, and so we, you know, and it's the wrong standard. Our standard is Jesus Christ. That's our standard, and we look at the Word of God, and especially, listen, well, and really, maybe not even especially is the word, but certainly for Christians, people that are claiming to be born again, claiming to know the Lord, you know, we have to understand that Jesus Christ is our standard. And but what happens, we look at the way the world is going, we look at other people, we feel pretty good about ourselves, because we can find somebody that's worse than us. You know, we're like the Pharisee that stood and he said, I thank God I'm not like other men. You know, he looked up to heaven, and in public, and remember, he wouldn't even look up to heaven. He bowed down and bowed his head before the Lord. You know, he said, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. He knew who he was, that Pharisee. I thank God I'm like other men. That's kind of Pharisaic when we look around and say, well, you know, I'm not as bad as fill in the blank, and we look down at somebody else that's not living a holy life or a right. I don't expect, let me tell you something, I'm going to get to expectations in a minute. I don't expect the lost people to live like Christ. I, you know, live a holy life. I do expect God's people to live a holy life. I do expect that. And I believe God expects it too. And we'll talk about it in just a minute. You know, when we get a little farther along in our text here. So, you know, we see that the precepts of in the precepts of God, that God expects some things from His people. I mean, God, just think about it. If we wanted to ask ourselves that question, what does God expect from me? Fill in the blank with your name. What does God expect from you? You know, God, I mean, it's not that we just get saved and then we just come in and sit on a pew and that's it. And then we go about our life all week long. And do it. Don't you think there's some expectations from God? I mean, He left us down here for a purpose. If you hadn't figured that one out already, He has left us down here for a reason. You know, to represent Him well is one of them. So the very first point I want to talk about tonight, what does God expect? Well, number one, or today, holiness expected. Holiness is expected. Not only does God expect holiness from Christians, I believe the world that we live in out there, the world, the lost world even expects holiness from Christians. I'll never forget a prison ministry thing that we were involved in. We weren't involved in it ourselves personally, but they had some prisoners come that had gotten saved in that, and we had to talk to them. You know, they were going to be getting out of prison pretty soon. Some of them had gotten saved before they got in, some of them while they were there. And we got to talking about it. And I remember this one prisoner told me, he said, I'm going to tell you something. Once you tell them prisoners you're a Christian, and he said, you better walk the walk. He said, because they know, the people that are lost, they know, they expect some things out of you. They don't expect you to be the same way. And he said, boy, if you don't live up to it, they're the first ones to point it out. Hey, what are you doing that for? Why are you doing this? Why are you talking like that? What are you, you know, because you're supposed to be. They know. He said, man, you got to, you know, you and that. So I think the world out there even expects some things from us as God does. And the church itself, the church as a whole expects some things as well. Why does God expect some things? And why does the world and why does the church expect some things? Expect holiness. Well, number one, or even expect anything, we profess more than everybody else. See, we profess, we're saying something. We're saying, you say, if you're saved, you know, you're professing with your mouth. If you just say, you know, I'm saved, like everybody in Botetourt County is saved, because I've been all over the county looking for lost people and I can't find any. Everybody's saved, but I know I'm not living right. I know I haven't been in church. I haven't been in church in 50 years. I know being in church doesn't save you. I understand that. But at the same time, there's a desire to worship God if you really say. So they always got a but along with it. And so, it's profession. We're professing that we know Jesus Christ, that we are saved, and that the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in our heart. And that we are born again. Born again. It's not born the same way. We're born a new way. And it's a new person that's there. And if we say one thing, if we profess that we know Jesus Christ and we live another way, then it is deceit and we are imposters and it is a hypocrisy. I mean, you with me here? Everybody awake on this one? That's the truth, right? I mean, if you say one thing and you do something else, isn't that a lie? I mean, if you say one thing and you live another way, if you say you believe this, but you act contrary to that belief, isn't that a lie at least, or a hypocrisy, or a hypocrisy at least, and a lie at the most? Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, something is not jiving right there with that. And so, we have to say one thing. You know, you look in the Bible when Ananias and Sapphira, and I believe in Ananias and Sapphira, I believe they were saved people. I do believe they were saved because the Bible says that they lied to the Holy Ghost. You have to have the Holy Ghost to lie to the Holy Ghost. But Ananias and Sapphira, you know what they were trying to do? They were trying to convince people that they were real generous givers. They saw that Barnabas had, people had bragged about Barnabas, said, wow, he gave a lot of money. None of them had to give any of it. And Ananias and Sapphira said, you know what? We're going to act like we're going to give a lot of money. We want people to believe that we gave everything that we got. And it wouldn't have been wrong with just telling them, look, we only gave part of it, because they didn't have to give any of it. But what it is, they made people think they were something that they were not. That's how you boil it down. They made people believe, or wanted people to believe, that they were something that they were not. That's what is professing that you know Jesus Christ and you live in another life. You're wanting somebody to believe that you're something that you're not. And that's a hypocrisy. And you know what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? God killed both of them. God killed both of them. Ananias came in and, buddy, he dropped dead. Peter confronted him about that sin. He dropped dead. And a few hours later, his wife came in and he confronted her and she dropped dead as well. Man, God kills you. I'll tell you what, that's another thing that tells me they were saved. Because if they weren't, God would have extended his grace a little bit longer. But I'll tell you what, when you're a child of God, listen. Yeah, we're living under grace. Sure we are. We're under grace, but you're already saved. You're already saved. Now God can just kill you if you're pretending that you're something that you're not, because he doesn't have to worry about your destiny, but he does worry about your testimony before this world that we live in. He just killed them, took them out, checked them out, because they were going to be a problem in that church, and he checked them out. And so, you know, if we profess to be a renewed man, or a new person, and profess to have a new heart and a new spirit, a new destination, everything about us, all things become new, doesn't it stand to reason some things would change? God doesn't save us in our sins. He saves us from our sins. And we can't go on living the same life, because you know you didn't live a godly life before you got saved. No, we can't go on living that same life and claim that things are new and things have changed when they haven't really changed. God expects holiness from us, the people that are truly his. And if you profess it, see, you have to prove it. The divine nature cannot live in unholiness. I want to say that. It's impossible. I'm not saying, like I said, we have to fight the old nature too. We do. But we have the divine nature, and the divine nature is not going to. Let me say it even that way. The divine nature is not going to live in unholiness. No, sir. No way. The divine nature is not going to stay there. You may fall in, slip here and there, but I'm going to tell you what, the divine nature is not going to stay. If you ever got in an uncomfortable place since you got saved, you got in an uncomfortable situation, you didn't feel like, you felt like a square peg in a round hole, I'll tell you what, I have, and I got out of Dodge, man. I didn't want to hang around in that situation. It didn't fit me any longer. And so, you know, when we think, another question, why does the church and is God, the church and the world expect more from the Christian? Number one, because we profess more. The second thing, because, listen here, we are more. We are more. It's okay to claim it, you know. We are more. It's not just talk. And I'm talking about for really saved people, people that are really born again. The truly born again is truly born again. He's got a new birth. Something happened, a new life. It's not the same life. You're not born again the same person that you were. You're born again a new person. And so everything changed. So now we are more because now we're a child of God, a child of the King, and we have the Holy Spirit of God. We've got that divine nature I'm talking about. You've got it. You're not the same as everybody else. Remember that movie way back years ago? I can't remember exactly how it went. It was something like The Body Snatchers or something. Remember them people that, isn't that the one where the aliens came and they looked like the regular humans that were on Earth, but they weren't, and they all kind of had that blank stare. They walked along. You was afraid to look at anybody because if you looked too emotional, they would figure out you wasn't one of them. You know, so, you know, you knew you weren't one of them. And you was always worried if everybody that you ran into was one of them. I think that was the movie. It was a movie like that. That's how you feel. Because now we're in the world. You know what? We're not one of them. And in the world we're living in, I'm going to tell you what, most crowds you get in, you're going to be the oddball out there. Unless you go to a Christian thing, you still might be the oddball out there. Right? Huh? If you're living for God, right? And so you go out today, you're walking around, you go down in certain places, you get there, man, and all of a sudden, you know what? I don't fit in with none of this crowd right here. And maybe once in a while you find a guy, like at the flea market, you find some guy talking about the Lord, man. You get talking about a few people here and there, you find some of them. But for the most part in the world we live in, we're not going to be the same person. We're different. You know, God expects more because we are more. We're now, instead of natural, we are supernatural. I like that. And the Bible says, I'm supernatural. I got God dwelling in me. The Holy Spirit of God decided to dwell in us. Man, how about that? If we wouldn't quench him and grieve him so much, huh? You'd like it a lot better. I mean, we'd feel it a lot better. I mean, Holy Spirit of God dwelling, made us supernatural, born twice. We've been born twice. Everybody else that's lost has only been born once. We received the Holy Spirit of God into our lives, and everybody that's lost don't have that. We're just different. We're different people. We got more. We are more. We're more now. We have a higher nature than other men. That's not bragging. That's not putting people that are lost down. It's just the facts. We have a higher nature. Hey, there's lots of facts in life, right? I mean, you go out there, I like to watch football and all this. Guess what? I'm not going to be able to play football like them other guys out there. You know, it's not happening. Didn't play like most of the ones out there when I was playing because they just had more talent. They had more skill. They were stronger, bigger. That's just a fact. It's not bragging about anything or putting anybody down. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. And so now we have this higher nature than other men. We're indwelt by God, set apart from the world. See, I'm going to tell you something about the Bible. The Bible is not, the Word of God and the Gospel is not politically correct. It's not. I mean, we live in such a politically correct world now. You know, everybody's got to be on a level playing. They want everything to be equal and everything even. They even got, you know, when I was a kid, you went and played on the Pee Wee sports team and all that. If your team won, you got a trophy. If your team lost, you just went home. Now you got to, everybody got to get a trophy. You know, you got the participation trophy because little Johnny can't have his feelings hurt. We don't want to subdue his growth and we don't want him to be mentally all messed up, in life because he didn't get a trophy. Instead of teaching the kid that, hey, everybody's not a winner, you know, and these things, you got to strive for this. It's something you got to get. Now, everybody just going to win one. You know, your kid don't even show up for the game, sit on the bench all year and get a trophy at the end of the thing. That's the philosophy of the world, but it's not, the Bible's not politically correct. He separates. There's a separation. It's not that all-inclusive philosophy in the world. It doesn't work in salvation because there's saved people and lost people, and the saved people are on a higher plane already than the lost people, because we're indwelt by God and set apart, separate, different. The Bible says that we're bought with a price. The Holy Spirit which indwells believers, is omnipotent. That means all-powerful. The Bible tells us I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me, right? Strengtheneth me. So, I mean, we have the power of God in our life over a lot of things, over really everything in the world. And so this makes us so different, so different. And listen, Satan's trick is this. Don't get this right. Satan's trick is to get you. If you're saved, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Satan can't get you. If you're sitting in here and you're lost, Satan's lying to you, telling that you are saved. He don't have to lie to the people that don't have any regard for God whatsoever. But when people get around God, he's going to make them people believe that they are saved so they won't get saved. That's some of his tricks right there. And then with those of us that are saved, another one of his tricks is he wants us to blend in with the world. He doesn't want us to understand our separated position. He doesn't want us to understand that we are indwelt by God Himself, that we are just a new creature, a new creation, that we don't fit in. He doesn't want us to live to our fullest extent as Christians. He just wants us to blend in. When I went in the military, when I went in, and Leonard is probably like that for you, a guy gave me some good advice when I went into service going to boot camp. He said, look, man, don't stand out. Either way, he said, just get in there, blend in, and you'll be all right. You know, don't stand out on the good end and don't stand out like on the real dumb end, you know. So I just got in there and tried to, you know, just maintain, get through, go in with the crowd, get in with the mass and go on. That's what Satan, it worked good in the military, but it doesn't work good in Christianity. Don't, we should stand out at a higher plane than the rest of the world. A light, you know, that they can see. And I'll show you that here in just a second. But you know what, we are more. You know, it's not bragging. We're not more because of ourselves. It's nothing to brag about, but we're just more because we trusted Christ. God chose to save us, and we trusted Christ, and He made us something. You know, and that's something to, you know, I'm not ashamed of being a Christian. I'm not ashamed to pray in a restaurant. I'm not ashamed to carry my Bible around. I used to have a big print Bible because my eyes were going south, and then I realized I still couldn't read it without my contacts in or my glasses on, so I just went back to a regular size Bible. I guess it's regular. But I'm not ashamed to carry my Bible in somewhere, have my Bible in my hand, stop and take a read it. I'm not ashamed of that. We got something. I mean, it's pride in a different sense. I mean, it's not, the world is trying to make us feel like we're something less than everybody else. The world wants the Christians to feel less, and the opposite is actually true, which is a tactic of Satan, by the way. And so listen, we can do, because the Holy Spirit that indwells us is omnipotent, we can do what the lost man can't do. We can get victory over sin, and we can get victory over wickedness, and we can get victory over fear and worry and all the other things and ungodliness, and we can live a holy life. I mean, God's expecting us, and we have reasons for it. God and the church and the world expects more from the Christian because not only we are more, because we have more. We just have more. We've got the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We have all those things. You know, really, I was thinking about that. That's what everybody in the world is wanting that. They really want it. They probably wouldn't define it this way. They'd write it down a different way. But in real life, I mean, when your dream life when you were younger, maybe if you thought, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to get married, you know, ride off in the sunset on a stallion there, and I'm going to have my, house, and I'm going to be, we're going to have a family in that. What did you want? You wanted peace, love, joy. You know, that's what you want, right? Here it is. We got it. The Bible says we have eternal life. We have a home in heaven. We've got mercy. We've got grace, Holy Spirit of God. We've got forgiveness of God. Man, we've got all that. We've got more. God expects more because we have more than everybody else. That's just the way it is. I mean, this is something to shout about. Amen? All right, help me out a little bit here. How about that? And then God expects more because, you know, believers are looking for more. Even believers, we have an eternal future in heaven. The lost people are looking for more too. I mean, man, they don't know. They don't have any hope. What is it looking bleak? Man, I mean, everything looks bleak, gloomy. You start getting old. You think, man, I didn't accomplish a quarter of what I set out to do. How do you live without God? I don't understand how. Man, at this point in my life, when you know, you start looking back, you know, I hope I live a long time, but more than likely, I'm probably past the halfway point just a little bit. I mean, you know, I got more behind me than in front, man, and I didn't accomplish like a whole lot of what I thought I might want to do. Still got hopes and dreams, still got that, I do, but at the same time, you start seeing yourself. We was over there talking about arthritis, pain, this, and have you tried this? Have you tried that? Everybody's got a thing to try. You know why? Because we done tried them. Why? Because our body, you know, if this is all we got, And we know life is short, and man alive, you know, there would be no hope. We would be gloomy. But we've got a hope, man. And so the lost is looking for something more. They don't want to see a bunch of people claiming to profess Christ, and we don't have any more hope, any more joy, any more power than what they got. That's what they see a lot, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. They're expecting more from us. So we see that. We see holiness expected, and then we also see holiness exemplified. Matthew chapter 5, shows us that God expects more. You know, Matthew chapter 5 is the Beatitudes. And what he said was, you know, and Jesus started explaining some things. He's explaining it to believers there. And he said, you know, that we're expected to be the salt of the earth. You know what salt does? Salt preserves things. Salt, you know why? How many of you put salt on stuff? I do. I put salt. You know, there's some stuff, man, you know, you got to have salt on it, man. I mean, you know, and salt brings out something. You know, it adds something to it. It gives it, you know, gives something a flavor. I guess it would say it this way. It makes a difference. It has an influence over the taste. I mean, I'll tell you the truth. A French fry without salt on it, man, what's the point? You know, I mean, I don't know. You got to have salt on that bad boy. You know, it's just an old mashed up taste. I mean, it makes a difference and it has an influence. And that's why Jesus said you're to be the salt of the earth. Us, to save people, the salt of the earth. We're to make a difference. We're to have an influence, and I mean, and God expects it, but I mean an influence for the positive as well, right? Not the negative. We're expected to be the light of the world. You know, you get a candle. The illustration there is with a candle in a bushel basket. And a candle, what does a candle do if it's not lit? It doesn't do anything, but that, you know, so he expects to be a light. You got to be a candle that's lit. It's got to be have a light and give a light. And when it does, what happens? It sheds light on everything around it. A candle sheds light on everything around it. So it affects things, has an influence over things. It goes from suddenly being dark to suddenly being where you can see. And so the believer's place in the world, our place in the world is to be that of influence. And I'm talking influence towards holiness, you know, in a positive way. That's what God expects. If you want to know what God expects from him, he expects you to influence people around you in your little sphere. You got saved. Every one of us got saved. And you got people in your group. You got people in your influential sphere of life that God expects you to influence those people, the people that you come in contact with as well. Remember Naaman's wife? You remember Naaman? Naaman was, he was a leper. And he wanted to be healed, and he couldn't get his leprosy, couldn't cure it. But Naaman's wife had a little maid. She was a Jewish girl. And she said, boy, you know what? I'm going to have to paraphrase it. My God, if you knew my God, he could heal you. And there was a prophet. She said, there's a prophet. You could talk to him. And said, you know, he'd probably pray and God would heal you. And boy, so what happened? You know, he went down there and it was through a long story. He didn't want to do exactly what, but he finally did what the prophet told him to do. And he got healed of his leprosy. She had a big influence, even though she was a slave girl, even though she was young. She had an influence on this guy Naaman who was lost and had leprosy. So, you know, we see that we're meant to have an influence. And then the third point real quick is holiness personified. You know, why are we to live a holy life? But, well, because men are going to know us by our works. We're not saved by our works, but that's how men will know that we're saved. The fruit. We're going to know us by our fruit, which is works. See, man cannot know us by our faith. Because you can't, just faith itself, think with me now, get your thinking cap on. Just faith you can't see. Faith expressed, you can't. If I put faith, you can see that. If I just say I have faith, you can't. So faith is actually something that's on, it's an internal thing. But it expresses itself in an outward way and through works that you believe that you have. You know, it can even be like, say, something, a tragedy happens to a Christian family. And people say, well, boy, I just can't believe. I don't know how they go through it, how they face life each day. But, boy, I see they do. Well, that's what they see. They see the works. They're not seeing the words that they just have to have faith. And so these works are visible. And works and holiness, listen, this is what's going to be judged by God. Pay attention here if you didn't pay attention to the rest of it. This is what's going to be judged by God. And I got Matthew chapter 25. It's the only other place I'm going to go on and read you something to. It's a little bit of reading. But pay close attention as I'm reading. Red letter edition, if you have a red letter Bible, these are Jesus' words. He said, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Now here it is. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now listen to me. You're not saved by doing these things. But this is the result of your living faith. This is a result. And this is what he said. Jesus said, for I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. Notice this is works. This is action. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say to them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So see, your works are going to be judged. And then it says, Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed and everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? And then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. So we see works standing there before God. God's looking at the works of the people that are claiming to be his, and this is how he's going to sort them out. Because if you got the Holy Spirit of God in you, I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be some fruit. The Bible says, meat for repentance. There will be some fruit. There will be evidence. It's not how you get saved, but it's the evidence that you are. And God put a difference between the two of them right there. And they both stood up there, and those things were brought before God. The new birth. I mean, it produces these works. And so we see a difference. You know, once again, that political correctness. We see a difference. We see a different destination for those two groups of people. I mean, holiness. What did he say? What was our text? Hebrews chapter 12, 14. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness. Follow holiness, without which, if you don't have holiness, no man shall see the Lord. It's not a holiness that we work up ourselves. It's a holiness that God produces. And I'll tell you what, most of my Christian life, I failed in trying to produce that holiness myself. Most of my Christian life, I failed. I couldn't do it. I can't do it. But God can do it. When you're really saved, when you're really born again, listen, it's just an impossibility for the Holy Ghost of God to be in your heart and to let you live in sin. It's impossible. Impossible. And in Ananias and Sapphira's case, they were saved, but God killed them. I mean, it's an impossibility. According to the word of God, it's an impossibility. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. The holiness of God produced in us by the Holy Spirit of God. Let me ask you something this morning. Paul, you come. I'm done. Have you been born again? You know, have you been born again? I mean, is your salvation a real thing? I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be a real day, and it's going to be here quicker than you think. I got thinking about something. You know, have you ever not been ready or something? Coming up on the anniversary this month, my mom passed away on August 20th in 2003, and I was thinking about it. Looking back on that, I was thinking about it yesterday. Man, I just wasn't ready for her to go. Man, I just seemed like it happened too soon, too fast. I'm going to tell you something. There'll be a day one day, and you're going to be standing before the Lord. If you're standing before the Lord not saved, you saw where the destination was. I mean, it's going to happen too soon in your mind, too soon, too fast, and you're not going to believe it. It'll be just as real as you're sitting here today. Just as real as you're sitting here today, you're going to be standing before God one day. Make sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that you're born again, that you had the new birth. I'm not talking about a profession. I'm not talking about a baptism. I'm not talking about coming to an altar. I'm talking about that you had an encounter with God. And the Holy and you spoke to God, and God spoke to you, and you know for without a shadow of a doubt, the Holy Spirit of God's in your heart, and that you're born again. I'm gonna tell you what, then there'll be some evidence of that in your life. I mean, a duck's a duck, right? It looks like a duck, acts like a duck, it's a duck. But I mean, if you look like you're lost and you act like you're lost, I got a feeling you're lost. I mean, that's just the way it is. So let God speak to your heart this morning. We have an invitation.